Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. Anything said that is false may be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for today comes from the reading in Genesis that Zach shared with you a few moments ago. It is on the sixth day of creation, when God said, "Let us make humanity in our own image." And so male and female, he created them in the image of God. From a birthday, my wife got me one of these DNA tests, in which you spit in a little tube and then you mail it off. And after 6 or 8 weeks, you get results back analyzing your DNA to see where you really came from, what were your origins. I had had a DNA test earlier, several years ago, with a different organization, the National Geographic. And while their results were interesting, they were not very precise, although this new DNA test showed some things that replicated or reinforced those original findings. For example, the largest ethnic nationality that I am is Irish and English, followed by Northern European. There's some Basque thrown in there, and then some German. Now I understand why I don't particularly like German food. And I kind of like kidney pie. Now, some of you may be asking yourselves, isn't it a bit inconsistent to be taking a DNA test, especially reading the text from Genesis today? Isn't it inconsistent to be fascinated by the discovery that I have 97% more Neanderthal in me than other people who've taken that test? Or that my ancestors were on the first wave that came out of East Africa and made their way through Europe and Asia? And I don't see the inconsistency at all. Because the creation story of Genesis talks about a third reality. It is not the reality of science, which is continually discovering new things in this world around us as well as in the universe, nor is it the reality of the ancient world of mythology with the pantheon of gods. It is a third reality. A transcendent reality that is an umbrella over all other realities. In the beginning, Genesis opens, in the beginning, God. That's where everything begins. It doesn't begin with you and me. It begins with God. God was in the beginning. Before I went to seminary, I attended a church where there was a Bethel Bible study series, and I attended that Bethel Bible study. They had a Bethel Bible study here years and years ago, sometime in the 70s or in the 80s, because I found old textbooks from that study. And for those of you who may have been exposed to Bethel, they taught the various books of the Bible through these big posters with symbolism, with each picture on the poster symbolizing something. And as the person presented the story of creation, they acknowledge that there are two creation stories found in Genesis, Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:4. A, you know, originally the Bible was not written with verses or even with punctuation. And then there's a second creation story, perhaps an older creation story. And the person who is teaching this Bethel Bible study told us that the difference between the two creation stories is like the difference between reading the New York Times and the Peoria Journal Star. One is broader and more global in scope, and one is more local. But over the years, I've come to realize that that's not really what is going on. One talks about a transcendent reality, and one talks about the growth, and the other talks about the growth of human sin and how it separates, divides, and destroys. In this transcendent creation story, God created the heavens and the earth, and God brought order out of a chaotic mess. And then God said, "Let there be light." The Gospel of John begins the same way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was light. It is most fascinating in Genesis 1:1 that light is created before the luminaries in the sky and the heavens are set in place. Light appears before the sun, the moon, and all of the stars. And in this transcendent reality that Genesis wishes to tell us of, we discover as we go up the staircase, the steps of creation, we find that humanity is the pinnacle of creation. Let us make humanity in our own image. Male and female, He created them. Simultaneous creation. John Calvin, in his commentary on Genesis, wrote that this creation story tells us that any separation, division, or discrimination between the genders is more a sign of human sin than of divine intention. Being created in the image of God does not mean that we are God, or that God looks like us, that God is limited to gender. But it does mean four different things about us and God in this creation. The first thing it means is that we have a resemblance to God. Sometimes when I look in the mirror as I grow older, I see shadows of those family members who have gone before me. Sometimes when I meet someone else and I have known their parent or their sibling, I will say to them, "You know, I see the shadow of your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother in your face." I don't deny their personhood, but neither do I deny their resemblance. We have a resemblance to God in that we can make decisions. We can decide what to do and what not to do. We can make changes and we can make a difference for better or for ill. But having a resemblance to God also means that we have a relationship to God. Yesterday, late afternoon, one of my daughters who's on vacation sent me a text message and asked me if I could take a phone call in about 20 minutes. I hate to get those kinds of text messages because I'm not sure if this is bad news or not. And so I texted back and said, "Yes, but is there a problem?" And she texted back saying, "No, but your grandson wants to talk to you." And so in about 20 minutes, he gives me a telephone call, and he says, "Pop," and he begins to tell me about his day and what all's happening. We had this little conversation, and I tell you, I felt so good. He wanted to talk to me. He didn't ask to talk to Mimi. He asked to talk to Pop. And then later that night, he called again, FaceTime this time. And we talked face-to-face, and he also talked to Mimi. And as I reflected upon that experience yesterday, I thought, oh, how happy it made me feel that he wanted to talk to me, that he wanted to have a relationship with me. And don't you think that God wants to have a relationship with us that makes God happy? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples one time, if your child comes to you and asks for something to eat, you do not give them a poisonous serpent or a stone instead of an egg. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, please teach us how to pray, Jesus said, okay, when you pray, pray like this, our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, a relationship. God wants to be in relationship with us. Don't you think that God likes to have us talk to the Almighty, to ask God's opinion, to ask for God's direction? To sometimes tell God that we're sorry for what it is that we did, for how we hurt someone else, and ask God to give us advice as to how to fix the hurt and the break. And don't you think God is so happy when we actually take the time to listen and respond? Listen for the voice of God through the hands of other people, through the voices of other people, through the circumstances of our lives, or maybe just that intuition, that inclination that we have that we know deep in our hearts that this is what we should do. We have a resemblance to God, and because we have a resemblance to God, we also have a relationship to God. And our relationship to God makes God happy. I remember when Jacob decided to cross the Jabbok River in order to be reconciled to his brother Esau. Expecting the worst, he was surprised when Esau greeted him with open arms and a hug and a kiss. And Jacob looks back and looks at Esau in the eyes and says, to see your face is like seeing the face of God. With such kindness and forgiveness you have received me. Don't you think that that's how God sees us? We also have a responsibility to God. As you leave worship today, you will have the opportunity to pick up one of these little Christ cards or memory cards, thought conditioner cards. This is a quotation from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It is from the Voice translation of the Bible. I like the way it reads because it really captures the essence of what the writer of Genesis was trying to get across. The quotation is this: God said, I make you trustees of my estate, so care for my creation and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that roams across the earth. God makes us trustees. We have a responsibility to God for the decisions that we make. Don't you remember the parables that Jesus told, the parables of the stewards who were given talents? And they were told to use these talents for the benefit of the master. And that the servant who buried the talent and didn't use it was one that was found, that was judged and thrown out into darkness. God gives us gifts and abilities. And God wants us to use them, not for selfish gain, but for the glory of God. God wants us to help build the kingdom here on earth. And don't you remember the parable that Jesus told about the master who made his servants in charge of his estate while he was away on a business trip, and that when he came back there would be an accounting that they would have to give of themselves. To be a trustee means that you acknowledge that that which you possess is not yours. It belongs to another, and so it is with all of creation. My university, lost another basketball coach, this time to another major school. Someone corrected me after the first service and said that I should say the basketball coach at Butler University went to the Ohio State University. I said in my mind, it'll always be Ohio State University. I remember in an email text that I had with a whole group of guys from my era, and I was lamenting the fact that we lost another coach. And that if only somebody could stay around long enough in order to build a program, they could be like Duke. Because the Duke program was nothing before Shevchenko. And one of my fraternity brothers wrote back and said, well, you know, we need some alums to pony up some more money. And I wrote back, how much money does a person need? How much is enough? How big of a barn do you have to build before you have enough? How much can you take with you? We have responsibility for everything that God has given to us and the generations in the past have given to us. We have a responsibility to use them to build the kingdom of God. So we have a resemblance, we have a relationship, we have responsibility. There's a fourth R. We also have a relationship with God. We are also God's representative in this world. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, "You are Christ's ambassadors. Did you know that you may be the only Bible that someone may ever read? Do you know that everyone is watching you, and especially when they find out that you attend worship or that you're a member of a church, they are not only judging you, but the congregation and even the God that you worship." We are God's representatives here on earth. We are Christ's ambassadors here on earth. We need to be very careful what we do and say, the values that we live our lives by, the decisions that we make. Are they God glorifying or devil glorifying? Are we building up the kingdom of God or are we tearing it down? Are we being constructive or destructive in the things that we say and do? Are we being mean-spirited or are we being forgiving? Are we willing to humble ourselves enough to ask for forgiveness, not only from God, but from those whom we have wronged? We're living in a culture right now when people seem not to be able to admit the fact that they've made a mistake or that they're sorry. They've simply been misunderstood or they misspoke. But that's not God glorifying. In the beginning was God. Not you. Not me. But God. And in the end, there will also be God. Between the beginning and the end, let us dedicate ourselves to glorify God.